This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about Chili Crisp.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we're only like 2 years late to this party. That's more on time than we've been to other parties.
Yeah, it is more on time.
What were you going to say?
I don't even know. We're off to a great start, though.
We are. This episode was suggested by listener and guest Kenji Lopez Alt.
But will he be a guest on this episode? We'll see.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, whoops. That's what we're doing.
No, you gotta tease the audience. Like,
okay.
You know, if you keep listening, like maybe I'll show you my 6-pack abs. that's my how I tease.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Matthew, tell me about your Chili Crisp memory lane.
I thought you were gonna say, tell me about your 6-pack abs. Well, let me tell you.
Oh no, I've seen them at the nude beach.
That's right. Yeah.
I was trying not to look at them.
Yeah, like, but there was like a lot of definition there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like real food writer abs.
Oh yeah, the sun was like rippling off your skin, like the ripples of muscle is what I mean.
Yeah, because I covered myself with muscles that I gathered off a mossy rock. Okay,
God, that was such a dad joke.
Yeah, it was. All right, so my Chili Crisp memory lane. There was like a moment where all of a sudden, like non-Chinese food writers all of a sudden really got into Lao Gan Ma brand Chili Crisp. And if you had asked me, like, before we sat down to start recording this episode, and I should specify, I'm actually standing up, I would have said that was like 2014, but apparently I'm way off.
No, Matthew. So I did the research for this episode, and I, too, was surprised to discover that that was like 2020, 2021, depending on sort of what demographic of non-Chinese food writers we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, I know I had some in my house before that, but like I try to maintain my cutting edge status.
Well, so here's what I found on the old interweb. So I think that non-Chinese food writers and chefs first got into it in like, or at least it kind of became like a trendy ingredient for people in the know in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
There's an extensive Eater piece from mid-2020 about chefs using it.
Can we link to it?
We can link to it, yes. Mid-2020, you know, we've got chefs using it. Well, then basically, is someone called it the like quarantine pantry must have. I think that someone was Sam Sifton from the New York Times.
Okay, that makes
sense.
But
all of a sudden, so like, you know, it kind of made this crossover from having become sort of like acutely trendy in like non-Chinese restaurants and non-Chinese food writers, and then all of a sudden became something that everyone had to have.
It's funny that you mentioned this because like, I'm only realizing just now that I had a like quarantine must-have hot sauce that I was putting on everything, but it was a different one. Yeah.
What was it?
It was the secret aardvark habanero sauce.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Like I was like, I ran out of hot sauce. I'm like, can I throw a hot sauce into the QFC order? I've heard of this one. I'll try that. It was great. Like, I've been putting it on everything ever since.
Well, yeah. So Sam Sifton would write a little email that would arrive in the inboxes of New York Times cooking subscribers. And in 2020...
It was called Sam Sifton's little email.
Sam Sifton's little email. He doesn't like it when you call it little, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was in April 2020, he declared it a quarantine cooking need. And that, I think, was really the beginning of, like, the mainstream boom, boom, boom explosion.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then I think that the explosion trickled. I'm not sure where this metaphor goes, but the explosion trickled into 2021 as well.
Okay, yeah.
And here we are in early 2022 talking about it.
I love how an explosion trickles.
Yeah, yeah.
This morning on the way to the bus, teenager of the show December asked me whether spontaneous human combustion is a thing that's ever really happened.
Mm. Did you talk about whales exploding, like when they get beached?
No. But
I love how you scrambled to answer that for me.
I was trying to figure out if you were talking about like from gas buildup or when they blew up that whale using explosives.
No, I think it's also, I mean, gas buildup is a real problem.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I almost exploded last night.
Yes, but we're talking about like a person like suddenly bursting into flames from internal sources.
Did you look it up?
No, I didn't look it up because it's definitely not a real thing.
But such weird things happen sometimes.
Yep. Uh-huh, sure.
I mean, have you ever had a human body?
That I mean, yes, okay, weird. Like weird, there is gas buildup and other weird things. That's true. But
okay.
But like a fiery explosion. I know, I brought
fine.
This up. Sorry.
Okay, fine. Okay, well, hold on. Now let's get into talking about Chili Crisp.
Trickles happen all the time.
Trickles do happen all the time, whether you want them to or not.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, Chili Crisp. Let's define it for anyone who...
Sometimes you want a trickle to happen and it doesn't.
Okay. So Chili Crisp, which can be spelled either C-H-I-L-I or C-H-I-L-E, depending on
I think
on
we
what
had this conversation
into.
On the chili oil episode also.
Chili Crisp is a spicy and crispy condiment. It's basically a type of hot sauce made with fried chili pepper and other aromatics that are infused into oil. So, you know, there are tons of homemade and commercial varieties. We'll talk more about this. But the most popular brand is Lao Gan Ma, which combines like the numbing qualities you get with Sichuan pepper with crunchy roasted soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the idea of Chili Crisp originated in Chinese cuisine, and according to Wikipedia, it has been described as going with anything and everything.
Yes. Even ice cream?
Even ice cream. Anyway,
that's another teaser. I'm trying to trickle these teasers in like an explosion that later trickles.
I love the history of this, actually. I had a lot of fun looking up the history of Chili Crisp. So, you know, as one might imagine, infused oil, like, you know, hot, spicy condiments have been made and used all over the world for centuries, but also in China, which is mm-hmm. what we're going to be focusing on today. And of course, there are lots of regional variations. Like in southern China, apparently it's common to simmer the ingredients in oil, whereas in northern China, it's more common to like pour just super hot oil over the chili peppers and
that's
aromatics.
That's interesting. That's how I make it because I use a Sichuanese recipe and it's very fun to like heat up some oil really hot and then dump it on chilies and have it all sizzle
yeah.
up.
Anyway, it's the kind of thing that home cooks and restaurants tend to develop their own version of. And it's not all that different from what we call chili oil. It just has to do with like the ratio of chunky stuff to oil, right?
Yeah. Now, when you say chunky stuff, could there be like a song about chunky stuff?
Oh, we could try to drop it in.
Okay.
So my spouse and I keep a voice memo catalog of special songs that we've made up. Songs like about our guinea pig and songs about...
you record your special songs? Because I have like hundreds of special songs that I've improvised over the years, but I've never thought to record them.
Oh, Ash records them all. They're all on Ash's phone. So we have a special song that I made up about Alice. We have a song about Percy being really small and needing to assert his masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but one song we have is called Chunky Stuff. And Ash made it up while putting like egg into their bowl of instant ramen.
Okay.
So maybe we'll drop that in.
You don't want to just give us an a cappella rendition right now?
Chunky stuff, pouring it inside my bowl. Chunky stuff, make something boring interesting or something like that. Ash does it better.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anyway, okay. But the deal with chili crisp is, unlike chili oil, it's not pourable. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you would take a spoonful of chili crisp. And also, chili crisp is all about the texture.
Yes.
So I want to talk about Lao Gan Ma, which is like the brand behind the chili crisp explosion that turned into a trickle.
Yeah.
We're going to just keep pushing this as far as it'll go. Okay. Lao Gan Ma is a brand that you have probably seen, dear listener. It is like the brand of chili crisp, and it launched in 1997. And the company
that is surprising to me. Like, I never would have guessed that. Like,
that it's that new.
That it's that new, right? Because like, it has a very like venerable looking label to it.
I would have
guessed that either it was like very, very new and like just came out in like 2017, or that it, you know, was founded in like the 30s.
Yeah, no. The story is wonderful. I visited multiple Wikipedia pages bring this story to you. So the company was created by a female Chinese restaurateur named Tao Huabi in Guizhou province. And Tao has this pretty remarkable story. She was born in a very poor village, and she was the eighth girl born to the family. So big family here. She married young, had two sons, but then her husband died when her kids were young. And she did all kinds of things to support her family. She worked on a construction site. She sold vegetables in like a stall in a vegetable market. And then eventually she opened in 1989 a restaurant. Apparently, well, on Wikipedia, it's described as being in a simple shed. Apparently, she specialized in noodles. And she sauced these noodles with her own version of this like crispy, crunchy, delicious chili crisp.
All right.
And in 1994... she, like, the chili crisp was so popular that by that point, she was mostly just selling chili crisp out of this restaurant.
See, I still can't get over the fact that, like, all this happened, like...
your lifetime?
During my life. Like, when I was, like, old enough that I could have been there.
I know. You could have, like, gone to her noodle restaurant.
Yeah, I didn't. But I could have.
What a shame. Anyway, so she created her company, Lao Gan Ma, which I saw on Wikipedia means either old godmother or, like, old mother.
Okay.
But Lao Gan Ma was created in 1997. She hired something like 40 employees and rented like a house to use as a factory. And her chili crisp quickly became popular, became a household staple in China. According to an article I read on today.com, she retired as a multi-billionaire.
Whoa.
And in 2017, when she was 70 years old, she was voted the hottest woman in China.
But,
do you think it was like a pun?
I don't know, but I kind of hope it wasn't.
I hope it wasn't either.
Right?
Yeah.
And like, her face is on the label, right? I assume that's her, or is that just like a Betty Crocker type?
You know, I don't know why I didn't think to look into that.
I mean, let's assume, yes, that it's her face on the label. I love the face on the label of the Lao Gan Ma jar.
Me too.
It reminds me of how, like, if you are a ramen chef in Japan and you are going to, like, pose for a photo for, like, an ad for your restaurant or an article or whatever, you have to make a face like, ramen is serious business and I'm a serious person. It makes me laugh every time.
We should collect these.
Yeah.
And you should send them to me.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm sure there's a ramen chef calendar.
Oh, I hope so.
I've had this thought occasionally that, like, if we could just get like 1% of people in China to listen to Spilled Milk, we would be set. Right?
We could retire as multi-billionaires.
Exactly. That's the thing. All she had to do was get everyone in China to buy one bottle.
I know. And she was just done.
Right. Exactly.
So it's interesting to me, actually. I feel like it took a relatively short amount of time for her chili crisp to then also become an international sensation.
Yeah.
So you figure it hit the market in 97. Well, in the 2010s is when it became a big deal internationally. That's not that long for a product, you know? So yeah, it was internationally known in the 2010s, and then of course became a big deal in the US during the, you know, the early days of the COVID pandemic. So yeah, I want to, you know, move toward thinking a bit about our guest today.
Okay, let's move. Let's take a like an inch toward our guest.
Well, I really enjoyed what our guest, Kenji Lopez-Ault, said about Chili Crisp in his new book, The Walk, which just came out a couple weeks ago.
Do you want to read it?
Sure, I'll read it. He says, there is a wide range of crispy chili oils, that is, unstrained chili oil with a large volume of chili and other aromatic debris left in the bottle, from mild Japanese varieties to hotter chili oils. I just want to call attention to the debris.
It just
up visions of like a tornado in a bottle. Anyway,
oh, wow. Okay. That would be a great slogan for something, right?
Wouldn't
I mean, probably a hot sauce, but like, I don't know.
Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to continue with this little excerpt from Kenji's book, The Walk. Remember when people were putting Hui Fong Sriracha on everything? I sure remember. Thankfully, those days are over, and we've now started spooning Sichuan Spicy Chili Crisp, specifically Laogan Ma brand, on everything. I've appreciated the upgrade, though I still question why we must collectively have one sauce to rule them all. Laogan Ma has a few more ingredients than typical crispy chili oils, including peanuts and citrusy Sichuan peppercorns. You know, one thing that I found helpful in thinking about Chili Crisp, like if you've never had it, I mean, do we think any of our listeners have never had Chili Crisp?
I think some of our listeners have never had it.
One thing that I found really helpful in thinking about it, like, and how it differs from other, like, quote-unquote hot sauces, is it's not vinegary.
Sure.
I mean, I think we are so used to thinking about hot sauce as a vinegary thing, at least in the non-Chinese cuisine
that's true.
World.
Like, yeah, if you get like a Cholula or a Tabasco.
Totally, like, totally.
It's going to have, or a Tapatio, it's going to have tons of vinegar.
And so what's been really fun for me about trying a number of different brands of Chili Crisp, and we'll talk about one in particular here in a minute, is that like there is tons of flavor in this stuff, and it's not actually that spicy, which was very surprising to me. It's like it's more about the complexity, at least for me, more about the umami. It's so savory.
Yeah, and especially the texture.
Totally. And actually, I think Kenji's going to be able to tell us a little bit about why the texture is so special and like maybe how it stays so crispy, even though it's sitting there in oil, right?
Yeah. You've mentioned friend of the show, Kenji Lopez-Ault's name like 17 times on this episode. Like, do you think there's any chance we could get him on the episode like right now to talk to us about Chili Crisp?
You know, I actually have a feeling that he might be calling in here to our recording studio now.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Okay, well, welcome back to the show, Kenji Lopez-Ault.
Thank
you for suggesting today's episode as well. Let's talk about Chili Crisp. What made you suggest Chili Crisp?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's because I recently was gifted a jar of Kari Kari, which is the local Seattle brand of Chili Crisp that I thought was the most delicious brand of Chili Crisp I've tried. And so I thought it'd be fun to talk about it.
I was given a jar of Kari Kari as well as a gift. And anyway, I was so excited that you mentioned it. And I love that we have the same sort of origin story for it. It is delicious.
And I was given a tablespoon of it as a gift. But I'm looking forward to try it. It's got big chunks. Yeah.
It does, yeah. I mean, it reminds me the most of like homemade Chili Crisp.
Yes.
So hold on. Okay. So, Matthew.
Yes.
What are we going to ask now?
Okay. Well, we did an episode a few months ago about chili oil. And I feel like Chili Crisp is a product or a condiment that is related to chili oil and could be considered a type of chili oil, but has like its own distinguishing characteristics. Like what makes something a Chili Crisp to you, and where is the crispiness coming from?
So chili oils, I mean, they range, obviously. So some of them are clear and some of them have a lot of sort of debris in them. But generally, when you're talking about Chili Crisp, first of all, like the pieces of chili are bigger so that when they get slowly fried and they lose all their moisture, because, you know, even dried chilies have some moisture in them. So they get slowly fried and lose all their moisture, and that's what makes them the little bits crispy. But then typically in Chili Crisp, there's also other things in there that will add to the crispiness. So slices of garlic, slices of shallot, sometimes peanuts that are also just sort of really, really slowly fried so that you basically completely dehydrate. It's sort of the way you would make like a potato chip, right? Where you want to, where the goal is to fry it until the point that all the moisture is driven off and that it's crispy, but without sort of over-browning it to the point that it turns bitter, right? So Chili Crisp is basically just like chili oil that happens to have a lot of bits of crispy stuff in it. And the flavor, you know, the flavor profile of Chili Crisp is generally not particularly spicy, but generally more sort of savory and sweet, because you get a lot of sweetness out of the shallots and the garlic. And then usually there's also some mix of kind of warm spices in there. So it could be, you know, Sichuan pepper, star anise, cumin, sometimes cardamom, sometimes like ginger, things like that. And then also very often sort of umami rich ingredients. So it could be MSG. Some brands have mushroom powder, things like that.
Preserved black beans. What brands do you, or so we're obviously talking about Kadi Kadi today. The sort of original brand is Lao Gan Ma. Is that it?
And that's, I mean, that's the one that I think people are going to be most familiar with.
Sure. They not only sell it at like my local QFC, but they sell like two variations. I think they were out of the original and I got the other one, which is sort of like on the edge of being Chili Crisp, but I'm excited to taste it. Okay, so the thing that I am not sure about Chili Crisp and like don't want to get wrong is, it's not clear to me whether, like, how long this product has existed in China and whether it is something that is, like, new to sort of the general North American market, but has been around and been enjoyed in China for a while, or is, like, a relatively new innovation by a Chinese sauce company.
So it's been around for a long time. I mean, chili oils have been around for a very long time. And it's like one of those things where every restaurant has their own version. So a lot of places will make their oils by sort of pouring hot oil over a bowl full of aromatics, and other places will simmer the aromatics slowly in the oil. So I think it would be ludicrous to suggest that in the hundreds, or I'm not even sure how long, but maybe thousands of years of people making various infused chili oils, that none of them accidentally made something that was also crispy and thought, oh, this is good. But certainly the way we know it now, you know, Lao Gan Ma, she started that company in the mid-90s. Certainly like what we know in the U.S. as chili oil, and what I think has now taken over China as well, is this Lao Gan Ma version.
Okay, so what I ended up here with is fried chili in oil, which I think is a little different.
Yeah, so that one I think is the same, but it doesn't have like the garlic and the little chunks of other stuff in it.
So one thing that I read as a sort of distinguishing thing about Chili Crisp as opposed to chili oil is that Chili Crisp is I guess, at least in most households and restaurants, used as a condiment as opposed to a cooking flavoring, like something that you would use in the actual cooking process. Do you find that to be true in your own cooking?
Certainly it's a condiment, but I would also think that, you know, chili oil is typically a condiment, or at least chili oil is something that you would, it's a table condiment. You might finish a dish with chili oil. So if you're making something like mapo tofu, right, you would finish it with chili oil. So, and you would serve it with like a big slick of chili oil on the top. And there are many dishes like that, particularly from, you know, Sichuan and Chongqing that are made that way. But both of them, I think, have sort of relatively similar use cases. You know, the thing I think you wouldn't do with a chili crisp is put it in a dish that's like being simmered and then let it cook for a while, because then all the crispy bits are not crispy anymore.
Yeah.
So in that sense, maybe you do want to finish with chili crisp, like only at the table. But I would consider both of them more sort of a condiment and like a finishing ingredient as opposed to...
All right, you guys, I couldn't wait and I tried the Kadi Kadi and it's so good.
It is, right?
Yeah. So who makes this? I hadn't even heard of it until the two of you started talking about it.
I think it's a husband and wife in Seattle. They have an Instagram after I tried it, I actually reached out to them. It's the two of them plus one employee that makes all of it. They make it by hand and they bottle it by hand. And I think they're going to have to ramp up their production at some point because they are getting very popular.
Okay.
Yeah. The Kadi Kadi is the one that reminds me most of homemade. So like
yes.
I don't know if you're familiar with Sola El Wiley's recipe from Serious Eats a couple years ago, but she did a recipe that is very elaborate and it takes a long time to make.
Yes, I've not made this, but I've seen this recipe for sure.
The most difficult part is really dehydrating the garlic and the shallots without burning them because they can, you know, garlic, if you've ever made like fried shallots, like Thai style fried shallots, or garlic, it goes from like being sweet and delicious to being burnt and gross like really quickly.
Yes.
And so, you know, this her recipe, you have to do that with a ton of shallots and a ton of garlic. And then there's a bunch of different chilies that you mix together, but it's so, so good. At my restaurant, which I'm not associated with anymore, but at my former restaurant, we did a late night chili sundae, chili crisp sundae.
Is that what Molly's eating right now?
Yeah, chili crisp on vanilla ice cream. That's
what I bought, some Häagen-Dazs vanilla ice cream, and I have let it soften just a little bit, so it's like just right. And I put the Kadi Kadi chili crisp on it, and it is so good.
Okay, I'm trying this now.
It's nuts, right?
It's like way more than the sum of its parts. Mm-hmm. It does really cool things with the dairy and with the vanilla flavor.
It's surprising, right? It's like one of those things where it's like you hear it and you think it sounds gross. And then you taste it and you're like, wow, this is really good.
Okay, trying it for the first time.
The texture of almost like, you know, this really crispy, almost dehydrated garlic with the ice cream is so much less. It's not gimmicky. It seems like it would be gimmicky and it's not.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, this is so good.
It's so good.
Have you had this before, Matthew?
Mm-mm.
Hmm. You know, this morning I was talking to my daughter, or was it this morning or last night? I was talking to my daughter and I can't remember what flavors she mentioned, but she said like, have you ever tried this? And I said, I've never tried it, but I don't think I'm really that interested in it. And she goes, well, how do you know if you've never tried it?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's a good point. And then, you know, and then I tried to explain to her, well, it's like, you know, it's like if you paint a lot, for example, like you don't need to actually mix the red and yellow together to know that you're going to get orange, right? Or if you like, you know, Matthew, like you're a musician. It's like if you play a lot of music or you do some composing, you don't need to see what like a G and a B, you don't need to go to the piano and push what a G and a B are going to sound like together to know what it sounds like in your head. And so it's similar in cooking where it's like if you do it a lot, you can kind of get an idea of what things are going to taste like without actually having to do it. But this is one of those cases where it tastes really different than I ever imagined it was going to taste in my head. It tastes really good.
I love this.
Oh, that's really good.
No, I wrote about in my book, Hungry Monkey, many years ago, but like apparently I'm still plugging it for some reason.
It's a great book.
That like I think for kids and adults, like the moment when you like realize that you like a new flavor is very rarely the moment when you taste it. It's like later when you've had a chance to kind of like simmer in your mind. This is an exception to that. Like, because I did not know if I was going to like this. I could have seen it going either way, and I love it.
My spouse is a huge ice cream eater. Like, we go through vast quantities of ice cream. And they also, like, easily demolish a jar of chili crisp. I'm very excited to tell them about this. So what is going on in this Kadi Kadi? Because this is so much more than, you know, just the flavor of chilies simmered in oil.
I can read you the ingredients list.
Okay.
All right.
So it's canola oil, peanuts, garlic, dried chilies, sugar, shallots, sesame oil, fermented soybeans, Sichuan peppercorn, spices, which they don't specify. But I think, I mean, I taste some star anise and probably maybe a little cardamom, red cardamom in there. Mushroom seasoning. Sea salt and tamari powder. So there's a lot of like super intense kind of like umami.
The sesame oil, I think, is also really showing up in
there. And I think the peanuts make a big difference. I think that's part of why it works so well for me with ice cream. I'm sure I would also like the Lao Gan Ma, which I don't think has peanuts on ice cream, but
I think there is one version of Lao Gan Ma that has peanuts. Okay. I'm pretty sure, but you know.
There's something about the particular, like the amount of chunky stuff and the amount of crunchy stuff in Kadi Kadi. It sounds so good when you stir it. like not all chili crisps. Like for a while I was buying Flyby Jing and it's delicious. It doesn't sound as good when you put a spoon through it. I got to tell you, the Kadi Kadi sounds so good.
Yeah. Tasting them side by side. I mean, the Flyby Jing, they have a very different profile.
Yeah.
The Flyby Jing is a lot more sort of savory, I think, and a lot more sort of fermented bean flavor.
Yeah.
Less of the crispy garlic.
You guys, I'm like, I'm doing that thing where, have you ever done the thing like, and Molly's going to laugh at me as if I've ever done a home improvement project of any kind, where you open a can of paint using a screwdriver and then you use the screwdriver to stir the paint and ruin your screwdriver?
I've not done that, but I can see it happening.
Okay, well, bear with me because
Matthew, have you ever done that?
No,
but I've really been tempted
to do it. And right now, what I'm tempted to do is I only have one spoon here, and I've been using it to eat ice cream, and I keep wanting to dip it in the other jars of chili crisp to taste them, but then I'm going to get ice cream in those jars.
Well, can't you lick the ice cream off?
Yeah.
Thank you, Kenji. Thank you for having the same idea here. Matthew, what are you... Matthew, come on now. Just lick the spoon.
I lick the spoon. Problem solved. Thanks, everybody.
So, Kenji, what do you eat and just think, I must have chili crisp with this? I mean, I'm thinking like, for instance, noodles.
Yeah.
For me.
So, I mean, so that would be sort of my chili crisp memory lane is noodles. So I had a friend, I still have a friend. He's still alive. He's still with us.
Is he still your friend though?
He is. We live in different cities now. Jimmy, so there was a period when all our entire group of friends, everyone was having babies and we would have baby showers all the time. And Jimmy, like his signature move at baby showers was to always bring this cold Sichuan noodle dish. His parents are from Sichuan. And so it was this dish that he learned from his parents. So it's cold wheat noodles that he would bring in like a Ziploc bag. And then in one jar, he would have this dressing, which was made with black vinegar, soy sauce. There's a recipe in the book, by the way, but black vinegar, soy sauce, sesame seeds, scallion, some aromatics. And then in a separate jar, he would have chili crisp. He would come to the baby shower, put the noodles in a bowl, put the dressing on it, toss it, and then have the chili crisp on the side for people to like scoop on as much as they want. And that to me is like, I mean, it always went fast, and he always had a backup bag under the table. Mm-hmm. But that was like the flavor of baby showers was these like cold Sichuan noodles with chili crisp, and that was sort of my introduction also to La Gamma, like the popular brand.
I love that being the flavor of baby
showers.
It
sounds like you're suggesting that maybe people were like having an extra baby or two just to get like more of Jimmy's noodles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew, you're about to have an empty bedroom.
That's true. We could start over. It sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, we could get Jimmy to come to your house.
Yeah, no, we weren't planning to have any more, but now that I heard that, like, we might get noodles.
Yeah.
There's that. My other favorite dish to make with it is super simple. So do you guys know smashed cucumbers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you basically take cucumbers, you smash them with the side of a cleaver, chop them into pieces, and then dress them with vinegar, a little soy sauce, salt, sugar. What I like to do is I get a wide bowl. I put Greek yogurt or labneh on the bottom of the bowl, like spread it all around, and then smash a bunch of cucumbers, dress them with vinegar, garlic, and a ton of chili oil, and then put them on top of the yogurt. And then you mix it all together as you're eating, and this yogurt and chili crisp. I think those flavors work real well together.
Oh, that sounds so good.
You can also add a little like mint or like herbs if you want, mint, sliced onions, stuff like that.
Okay, really I'm for sure going to make that. I just tasted all three of the chili crisps that I have here. The Lao Gamma that I have is fairly similar to the original. It has got less garlic and more toasted soybeans, I think. And the Flyby Jing and the Kadi Kadi. They're all so different. They're all good. Mm-hmm. The Flyby Jing, I think, is the closest to what I think of as like a chili oil that's not a chili crisp. Because like Molly said, it doesn't have a lot of crispy chew to it, but the flavor is very super savory and intense. The Kadi Kadi like has the most complex flavor and the most crunchy stuff, and I think is the best on ice cream. But the Lao Gamma is incredibly balanced between those. And like, I can see why it's the standard.
Okay.
I know everyone's been waiting for my chili crisp report. Yeah, there it is.
We all needed to know that you could see why it was the standard.
Oh, I stuck last week. I put some of the Kadi Kadi on like an Italian hoagie, like an Italian sub.
Yeah, that sounds
good. That was really good.
Ash makes a lot of instant ramen for lunch, instant ramen, and then they crack an egg in there and sort of make almost like an egg drop ramen situation. And they pile that stuff with chili crisp to the point of feeling a little sweaty We just actually went through the end of our Kari Kari. So I'm very grateful to you for bringing over this little spoonful in a container for me.
Yeah, I'm going to be ordering this for sure.
If you like chili crisp but don't do spicy things too well, you can get Japanese garlic chili oils. So like S&B makes one. I think there's other companies that make them that are tons of chili flavor, tons of crispy garlic bits, and virtually no heat at all. So like my daughter loves taking that and scooping it into her ramen.
So I have a story about this, actually. Teenager of the show, December, back when they were going to summer camp, one year said, like, I'm looking forward to camp, but the food is kind of bland. Is it okay if I take this jar of S&B taberudayu with me to camp? They did not end up actually bringing jelly oil to camp, but they did. They did threaten to. It would have been a better story if they actually had, but... You know.
Oh, my kid is going to the same camp
yes,
this summer.
You should send them with a variety of chili crisps.
Yes, it's great. Perfect.
Didn't people used to do that? Like have like little containers where they take their own salt with them to restaurants, like obnoxious people in the 90s?
This is something I remember reading in an article by Jeffrey Steingarten, alleging that Pierre Hermé did this, I think.
I think a lot of people do this. Like the Jacobson Sea Salt Company actually made little containers, almost like little like Carmex containers.
Yes, I remember that. Molly, do you still have Pierre Hermé's number on your phone?
I think I probably have it in an email somewhere. Let's get him on the show.
Yeah, see if he's available now.
Great.
Maybe it wasn't Pierre Hermé, and I'm just like, I was going to say slandered, but is that slandered?
You've just slandered.
No. I was going to mention before that I do have a recipe for that chili crisp sundae with, so it's chili crisp sundae with like a mala peanut streusel. I have a recipe on the New York Times for that.
Okay.
And they have a link. And then, you know, I would recommend using Sola's recipe for the chili oil, but they also have a link to their own chili oil.
And then is Jimmy's noodle dish in your new book?
It is, yeah.
Oh, great.
And the cucumber salad thing is also in the book.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Okay, and that book is called The Wok, Recipes and Techniques.
Uh-huh. Written by a listener of the show, Kenji.
Yeah, I hope that's on the cover.
Yeah, but don't specify which show. Just say the show. Let's, instead of welcoming Kenji onto the show with a bio, let's say goodbye to Kenji with a bio. Okay. Our guest today was Kenji excuse me. I can't do it. Matthew, you do it.
Kenji was last on the show like 5 years ago. It's amazing how much more professional and put together things have gotten since then. It's like a well-lubricated factory over here.
We've retreated into our closets. You're licking spoons off and wiping them on bath towels.
But last time, I had a really good time eating meatloaf in Matthew's dine-in kitchen.
We'll have that's you back in the studio again, maybe sometime in the future.
I was thinking back then how professional you were because you had like some cushions against the wall to keep the sound.
Yeah, still got some acoustic paneling.
Okay, wait, should I try again?
Yeah, try again.
Okay, all right. We were thrilled today to have as a guest J. Kenji Lopez Ault, who I think you all probably know not just because you just listened to him here on the show, but because he is a wildly popular New York Times food columnist and the chief culinary advisor for Serious Eats, and also the author of the acclaimed book, The Food Lab. You probably also know his YouTube show, which I guess we have to admit is extremely popular, more than our show. It's called Kenji's Cooking Show. It's on YouTube. And his latest book is The Wok, Recipes and Techniques, which just came out on March 8th and is available everywhere books are sold.
All right. It's good that we made Kenji wait around while we did that. That was,
I'm really
that was
glad
necessary.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to that.
All right, Kenji. Thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you
for having
me.
We'll do this in person next time. I've got a good feeling.
My daughter is going to be thrilled because we listen to the show together in the car. And every time, you occasionally mention my name on the show. Mm-hmm. And every time she's like, Papa, they're talking about you.
That's so sweet.
And she loves it. So she will be thrilled to listen to these episodes.
Oh, man. Kenji is the best.
Yes.
Thank you, Kenji.
He's welcome back anytime.
Well, so, you know, there are a couple things we didn't talk about. Ideas for using chili crisp that I found on the internet and that sound so delicious. I want to share them with our listeners now.
Okay.
So I saw a suggestion in an article on Bon Appetit's website to combine chili crisp and softened butter, almost like a chili crisp compound butter, and slather it on roasted chicken.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that sound really... I love the idea of chili crisp and butter.
Have I mentioned that Teenager of the Show December, like when they're home for lunch, will often make a couple of fried eggs on a bowl of rice with chili crisp?
It's pretty perfect.
Or chili oil.
It's pretty perfect.
Whatever's in the fridge.
I also am intrigued by the idea of mixing a bit of chili crisp into mayonnaise and using that on a sandwich of some sort.
Oh, that would be good. Like even like I'm like phobic of mayo, but I would go for that, because like sometimes I'll make Nancy Silverton's Chipotle mayo, which is pretty much just commercial mayo, like chopped up chipotles in adobo and a little lemon juice.
What about pizza? Would you put chili crisp on pizza?
I don't see why not. I mean, the only reason I would hesitate is that, like, I'm one of those people who will, like, blot the top of the pizza because, like, I want my pizza, like, not so greasy. But then, like, you know, replacing the pizza grease with chili crisp oil sounds great.
You know, I don't know if this probably makes me a bad person, but everybody already knows on this show what I am.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes I feel like, you know how some hot sauces are all about the heat, right? Like all you can taste is like the fire of it. There's not a lot of
flavor.
Dave's
Insanity, or like not even going that far.
Oh, I don't think I even know probably some of the brands that you might suggest, because that's not my kind of hot sauce.
Sure.
I think of chili crisp as being like the opposite of that. It's like all about flavor with a bit of heat as well. Well,
yeah, that's definitely true.
Sometimes, so like last night, Ash and I were eating kimchi fried rice, and Ash put chili crisp on theirs and offered me the bottle of chili crisp. And I decided that I didn't want it, because the one thing with chili crisp is it is so flavorful that kind of anything you put it on is going to taste like chili crisp. And you do lose a bit of what else is there. Do you ever feel this way?
I can understand that. Yeah, but I don't know. Like I'm sympathetic to that argument, and yet I am the kind of person who, like, when I like find a condiment I like, I will use it pretty indiscriminately, even if it's strong in flavor. So I mean, I guess it's a real, like, you do you. Like,
yeah.
is there anything wrong with putting chili crisp on everything? No. Definitely not.
No.
You know what I think, like, you may want for your kimchi fried rice, if you want to add some texture, is like some like fried shallots.
I think that would be great.
Or fried garlic.
That would be great. Okay. Okay, I like this tip. That said, I am definitely going to be returning again to Kari Kari Chili Crisp on vanilla ice cream. That was so good.
That was so good.
That was so good. And so not weird. I just thought it was...
Yeah, what are like other things that like people have been telling us to try that we haven't gotten around to that are probably just as good as they said they were?
What about pickles and ice cream?
You don't have to be pregnant to enjoy it?
You don't have to be pregnant to try it.
But it couldn't hurt.
What else, Matthew?
About chili crisp or like other things we should be trying. I know people are, you're always telling me to watch some TV show that I'm never going to watch.
Yeah, you're always telling me to watch some TV show I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, but we both watched the Beatles documentary.
We did.
And that's the kind of like boring middle-aged people we are.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Matthew, do you have a now but wow for us today?
I do. I just read a book that I really enjoyed. It's called While I Was Away by Waka T. Brown, and it is a memoir of a girl from Kansas, a Japanese-American girl whose family sends her to live with her grandmother in a small town in Japan when she's in middle school in order to improve her Japanese skills. And she goes to the local school, you know, just full immersion. And it's written like, you know, looking back on childhood as a middle-aged adult, but like really, so you kind of like get that it's being seen through that lens in a very, you know, kind of warm and like, you know, appreciative and believable way, but also really brings to life like the feelings of like being in middle school. And one thing that I really liked about it, aside from like, you know, capturing things that I remember from Japan, is that she really shows how like the politics of being a like preteen are truly universal.
Oh, that's and, so painful.
Like, you know how, like, you know, like shit going on with your friend groups and, like, you know, like falling in and out of friendships with people is just like the most important thing in the world, and you'll never get over it. Like having seen that go on in my own house, just like that was refreshing to see. Like, I'm not the only parent or kid who has to deal with that.
Excellent. Okay, so that was While I Was Away by Waka T. Brown.
Yes.
Well, our producer is Abby Circatella, as always.
Please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm.
And if you want to chat with other Spilled Milk listeners, you can go to our subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/everythingspilledmilk.
What did you put Chili Crisp on today?
What did you put Chili Crisp on today? We want to know.
Yeah, if you want to send us a question or a comment, contact at spilledmilkpodcast.com. It'll come to me, so be nice.
Yeah, please be nice. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
What did we say happens after the explosion? The drizzle? The dribble?
Oh, the no, leakage? It was the trickle, but I like the idea of the drizzle.
Yeah, after the explosion
comes the drizzle.
Comes the drizzle. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg. I'm so glad we're recording this part.
Okay.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.